Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the top of Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We highly recommend your ordering your personal copy of Maseches Bava Basra. The topic that the Gemara will be beginning is in effect a continuation of the previous sugya. We're talking about making a dedication or giving of a gift to someone who is capable of receiving, but the giving of the gift is being done at the same time that someone who's not capable of receiving is included. One expression that we had and that we dealt with, we saw there was a machlokes concerning the giving of a gift to a child born along with children that were not born. We saw Rabbi Avo that said that the child that was born is not going to receive a special chelik, an extra portion, just like those that are unborn do not receive. And the reason given for that approach was that that is tantamount to saying kni kechamor, acquire like a donkey. And just like a donkey doesn't acquire, the one I was addressing also does not acquire. With that, we begin the Gemara on the second line from the top, the end of the line, di itmar, kni kechamor, lo kono. When I say to someone, I want you to receive this gift like a chamor, he does not receive. However, if I use an expression, at v'chamor, I want to give this to you and to the chamor, to you and to the donkey. As far as a case like this is concerned, there are three opinions. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let's glance at our topic heading in the outside margin of the page, the Nosei. Number one, Kni Kachamor, L'kulei Alma Lokani, all deos, all opinions will agree that even the one who's fit to acquire will not acquire, because we are making him dependent on the Chamor, and just like the Chamor doesn't get, so too he doesn't get. The second expression, kni at v'chamor, so we're telling you in our introduction, gimel deos, there are three opinions. Let's see them right now in the Gemara. Number one, Rav Nachman Omar, kono mechza. The one who's fit to receive will receive half. The Rashbam says, kono mechza, four lines from the top, dehochi omale, ato v'chamor, tiknu shnechem. Hu mechza ve'ata mechza. You and the chamor acquire. You receive half and the donkey half. V'lo ovad ho'ish chelkel b'shvil ha'chamor. The person who's fit to receive the gift doesn't lose his chelek because of the chamor. Shelo tol on ze boze. He's not making the man dependent on the donkey. Continuing in the Gemara, number two, V'rav Hamnuna Omar, Loi Omar Klum. The Rashbam, Lo Omar, Lo Kono V'lo Klum, De Kevon De Bekinyan Echot Shitef Shnehem, since in one deal he joined the two, he mentioned the donkey along with the person, Lo Nigmara Badaito Lahaknois Laze B'lo Ze Klum. The giver has no intention to give to one without the other anything. Just like, and since the donkey doesn't acquire, he too will not acquire. And the third opinion we see in the Gemara, Verav Sheshes Omar Kono Hakol. That when I say to someone, I want you and the donkey to acquire, everyone knows that a donkey doesn't acquire anything. So therefore the giver had in mind to give everything to he who is capable of receiving. So according to Rav Sheshes, we see a principle that when two parties are mentioned and one is incapable, the giver's intention is to give everything to the to he who is capable. Omar Rav Sheshes, Mino Amin Allah. So Rav Sheshes says, from where do I know to say this? We see a geometric form that appears. The note in the outside margin under the heading Mivne, the structure, will explain the role of this house form. As you scan ahead on the daf, you notice the house form appears in this case with the point facing up, and then it's going to flip over a few lines down, and then once again later on the page you'll see it pointing up and again flipping over. So we explain here on the outside margin where you see the house form, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Mekoros shenirim misayim Rav Sheshes, with the point facing up there will be sources that seem to support Rav Sheshes. Shesover dekoni, that the receiver will receive everything. Da'at v'chamor koni hakol, that when the expression of at v'chamor is used, the receiver gets everything. Afterwards, you'll see a flipped over house. Dechios, rejections. Hagemora ma'esh mekuros elu einam dugmaos shel kniat v'chamor. The Gemara will show how that the how the examples that were proposed to support Rav Sheshes are in fact not examples of kniat v'chamor, and Rav Sheshes was saying his halacha, his ruling in the context of at v'chamor. So we continue now in the Gemara. The Gemara will present a source. As you can see, there's a framed section, and it deals with tithing, the separation of truma to matir the rest of his fruits. When one has a harvest of fruits, there are a certain number of tithes that are expected to be separated from his harvest in order to allow the rest of the fruits to be consumed. Until the tithes are taken, the fruits are referred to by the term tevel. This particular source will feature the truma tithe, which for our purposes is 1/50th, a rabbinic ruling. The 1/50th is removed. In this case, we'll talk about the tithing of a vegetation called kishus. It's not important for us to offer a literal translation to this particular vegetation, but what we can say about it is that generally speaking, the interior part of this particular vegetation is bitter, and the outer layers, the outer section, is pleasant, is sweet. When one removes, let us say he has 50 kishus, and one removes one of them to serve as the truma for the rest, there may be room to suspect that this particular kishus that he is removing as tithe for the rest, its interior, its bitter section, is greater, is more than the average kishus that's found in the rest of them. At this point, we're going to make an assumption that the Gemara will change later, that a bitter section of the fruit cannot serve as truma to matir, to allow edible, sweet section to be consumed. In other words, when you're separating truma, you're supposed to separate something that's edible, something that's useful to allow the rest to be consumed. As a result of this particular concern that maybe the kishus that I'm removing contains a greater percentage of bitterness than the rest of them, this source will tell us that he should add from another kishus a small amount, and thereby ensure himself that there is definitely 1/50th of edible truma, of edible kishus, that's serving as truma for the rest. But if we look at this with a certain degree of imagination, we really see a truma tithe being in the form of at v'chamor. There is the useful, the practical, and the chamor, the donkey, in this case the bitter section, being the impractical. And we see that though when he's tithing bitter with sweet as one singular tithe, they're combined in one tithe, and we see that it works. So we see from here something similar, if you are using your good imagination. We see that the tithe is completely effective, even though there is the presence of the equivalent of a chamor. Therefore, one can conclude that kni at v'chamor, the at, the practical one, the kosher one, the fit one, works entirely. In this case, it serves as the tithe for everything, and in our case of kinyonim, would acquire everything. Let us read this inside. Desanya. You now see a framed section. In the marking system, Tanaic sources are framed. Reb Yossi Omer, ein l'cho mar bitter, bekishus elopni mishabo. The interior of the kishus vegetation is bitter. Lefikach kishuhu toreim. Therefore, when someone comes to remove one kishus out of 50, he may suspect that the kishus that he is removing has a larger percentage of bitter than the rest. Hence, the sweet section of this kishus that he's removing represents less than 1/50th of the total amount of sweet sections of kishus. Therefore, moisif al hachitzon shebo v'toreim. He adds from another one of the kishus, some kishus, the Rashbam says a kibetza, an egg size of other kishus, adds it to that which he is removing as kishus, v'toreim, and thereby offers his truma, separates his truma. Amai, so why does this work? At v'chamor hu, is it not a case of at v'chamor, namely the sweet with the unsweet being the chamor? The Rashbam, the Amai, at v'chamor hu, she'omar kishus ze yehei truma al elu, he dedicated this kishus as truma for the rest, v'kevon diyesh bo mar umasuk, and since in it you have bitter and sweet, ki hechi demar lo chayel bo truma, just like the mar, the bitter, does not serve as truma, v'lo mevatel shem tevel min hamemtes, and it could not remove the categorizing of it, of the group of kishus, cannot remove from it the category of tevel. Hachi nami hamosok lo yochul alav shem truma, so too the sweet section should not be effective either, and yet it is. Ela mai isloch lemeimar. So what do you have to say? Hamosok kana hakoil upotar mitevel es hamemtes. The sweet section is effective over everything and removes the shem tevel, the category of tevel, from the rest. And similarly, in the case of a dedication of a gift to at, to you, a person, and a chamor, even though the chamor doesn't acquire, just like in the case of the tithing, the bitter doesn't work, so as we say in the case of the kinyan, the person will receive everything, just like we say in the case of the truma, that the sweet section serves as truma over everything. At this point, we notice the house flips around. this indicates to us that there is now a rejection, as we saw in our introductory note in the outside margin. We've also included in the space between the Gemara and the Tosis, namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a dalet that's encircled with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this Dechiyah statement. The Gemara will say that in the realm of tithing, the bitter section, the undesirable section of the vegetation, is not parallel to the donkey. The donkey is totally removed from the picture. The bitter section of the vegetation itself, from the Torah standpoint, can also serve as a good tithe. It's not the right way to do it, but if one does it, it's binding. It has value. It has value as a tithe. Hence, we cannot parallel the case of the kishus and the tithing of the bitter section to the case of at v'chamor. Let's read this inside. Shiny hosam. The case of the tithing is different. Demidoraisa trumum al yosahi. That from a strictly Torah standpoint, separating from the bitter to cover the sweet would in effect be good, would be effective. The Omar Rabbi Yulaw, minayim l'tor min arala yofe, from where does one know that when one removes as tithe poor quality to exempt the good quality, shetrumoso truma, that the action of the tithing is binding, she'enemar velo sisu alav chet barimchem eschelbo mimenu, that when one does the tithing, he ought to tithe from the chelbel. The chelbel means the desirable section, the good section, and thusly save himself from sinning. In other words, do your tithe, separate your tithe from good quality stuff, and thereby not bear a sin. However, we say, v'im eino kadosh, if removing poor quality or bitter vegetation is a non-action whatsoever, then nesius chet loma, why is there sin that's born? Rather, we have to say that the action is a legitimate action if one removes poor quality to serve as tithe to cover good quality, that it's a binding action. However, it was done improperly, was done in a non-desirable way. Mikan, from here we see l'tori min hara al hayofe, that when one does remove from poor quality to exempt good quality, shetruma so truma, that the action is of a legal nature, is binding. So to review the main point, we cannot parallel the case of poor quality truma to the case of the donkey. The donkey is out of the picture altogether. Hence, you cannot prove from the case of tithing bad quality vegetation that works in the case of truma to the case of at v'chamor. Omale Rav Mordechai the Rav Ashi. Mosiv Rav Avyo Tiufta. Rav Avyo presents a kasha on those that disagree with Rav Sheshes, and as a result, we have something that would support the opinion of Rav Sheshes. We see that through the markings with the house form point facing upwards. The source, as you can see, is enclosed in a frame. As we've mentioned before, in the marking system, Tanaic material is presented in a frame. This source will talk about a person attempting to marry, offer kesef kedushin in the form of fruits to five women, and amongst the five women there are two sisters. So you have three unrelated women plus two sisters. A person, when marrying, cannot marry two sisters. The iser is called achos isha. And we have a rule that a marriage that cannot be consummated, namely, it's in Hebrew referred to as kedushin she'ein mesurin lebiya, Einon Kiddushin. This man, in the story that we're about to read, offers Kesef Kiddushin, in this case he offers fruits, to the five women. One of the women takes it from the man on behalf of all of them. And the source will tell us that the Kiddushin is effective. However, the sisters are not included in the Kiddushin. The sisters are not included in the Kiddushin, the Gemara will tell us. However, the others are. But what do we see from here? We see that when you combine the unfit together with the fit, we do not say that the unfit casts a shadow on the entire picture, but quite the contrary. The fact that there is someone fit, they are kone, so to speak. In this case, the unrelated women are married. In the case of At v'chamor, we would see, like Rav Shesha said, that the At, the person, would acquire everything. In other words, where effectiveness could be executed, we will say therein is the kinyan. Just like we will see in the case of the Kiddushin, that the women that were not related are in fact married. There are many other details that accompany this particular source. The Rashbam makes an allusion to these details. The primary source for learning about the rest of the details in the source is Maseches Kiddushin. But for our purposes, we're going to emphasize on that which you see with a dashed underline. You see, Ubohen Shtei Achoyos, they represent the parallel to the case of the Chamor, in the situation of At v'Chamor. Let us now see the source. Maise b'chomesh noshim, ubohen shtei achoyos. Five women, amongst them are two sisters. V'liket echot kalkolos shel te'enim, and someone came along and harvested a basket of figs. V'shelahen hoysa v'shel shviyas hoysa. The figs belong to these women. And the story that we're talking about is featured, the story that's featured here is taking place in a Shemitah year. The Shemitah year where everything is Hefker. The Omar, and this man, said to the five women, Hare kulchen mekudoshes liba kalkola zois. You are all to be married unto me through this basket of fruit. The kibla achas mehen ayidei kulan, and one of the women received the basket of fruit on behalf of the rest. Omru chachomim ein achoyos mekudoshes, and the chachomim ruled that the sisters are not included in the Kiddushin. And the Gemara points out, Achoyos hu de'ein mikudoshos, ho nachrios mikudoshos. The sisters are not included in the marriage. However, the unrelated women are included. Ve'amai at v'chamorhi. Why is that? Is it not a case of at v'chamor, the fit and the unfit? And still, and nevertheless, we see that the nachrios are mikudoshos, that the unrelated women are married through this act of kiddushin, through this act of marriage. This would support Rav Sheshes. Once again, we see the house flipped over. Hence a rejection. Omar Lei, we saw before, Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi that Rav Avyo had raised a source as an objection to those that disagreed with Rav Sheshes. So here you see Rav Ashi responding that this objection is not really an objection. He says some introductory comment that is featured or is explained by the Rashbam, but the main point to be aware of as we go on in the Gemara that this is a rejection of the support to Rav Sheshes. So Amale, Hainu de Chazoi Rav Una Bar Avyo Bechilma. In other words, the support to Rav Sheshes was offered by Rav Avyo above. In response, he says, I saw Rav Avyo's son in a dream. De Moisiv Rav Avyo Tiufta, that Rav Avyo had raised an objection, but in truth, his objection to those that disagreed with Rav Sheshes is not really an objection to them, and hence not really a support to Rav Sheshes. Lav mi ukimno Is it not so that we set up the source, that the source is really explained as follows? The Omar, that the man marrying the women said, Horu'uya mikem labia tiskadeshli. He precluded or excluded the women at the very outset by his saying, those that are fit to consummate the marriage with me are to be married unto me. By saying Horu'uya mikem labia, he was at the very outset excluding the sisters from the marriage. Hence, it's not parallel to a case of At v'chamor, because in the case of the marriage, the chamor equivalent, namely the sisters, weren't part of the deal at the very beginning. The expression that we had read in the Gemara, namely, Hainu the Chazoi, Rav Huna bar Avi b'chumo, the Rashbam makes a reference to it, right underneath the Gemara, Hainu de Chazoi Rav Huna bar Avya b'chalom, umishum de amris li, since you said to me, de moisiv Rav Avya t'yufta, that Rav Avya had raised an objection, then I understood niskayim chalomi. I understood that there was a fulfillment of my dream that I had had earlier, that where I saw Rav Huna bar Avya in the dream. I had a dream concerning Rav Huna bar Avya, and then you told me that Rav Avya raised a tyufta, that thereby fulfilling the dream, so to speak. However, mihu lav kushyahu, nevertheless, the issue is a non-issue. The lav miyukimna v'chule bitmiyah, is it not so that we already established the source of the marriage as being different than the case of Ad v'chamor? Continuing in the Gemara, we see a triangle, and in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, namely to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we see a number 2. If there's a 2, there must have been a 1. Since the beginning of our shiur today, we don't see any number 1. But with the marking system, we are drawn, our attention is drawn to the number 1, which was on the previous Amud Adav Kuf Mem Beis, Amud Beis. So as you scan the same side of the Gemara, namely the right-hand side of the Gemara text on Kuf Mem Beis, Amud Beis, you will notice there was a number 1 halfway down the page. At that point, we had offered in our outside margin an introduction, a structural note, the Mivneh, and we said there that these triangles will continue to Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And if you flip over your Kuf Mem Gimel in your marked Gemara edition, those who are fortunate enough to have already ordered and are in possession of their Shas Ozer Bava Basra will notice on Amud Beis the numbering gets to 5. We noted there in our previous shiur that these are a series of incidents of property division, where someone is dividing out his property, giving it out, distributing it to others. Let us continue in the Gemara. Hahu di Omar lo lidvisu. A man said to his wife, Nechosai lech ulivnech. I want to give my property to you and to my sons. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at our topic heading in the outside margin. Ha'omer li'ishto nechosai lech ulivnech. I'm giving my property to you and to your sons. Konsa mechza. She, the wife, acquires half. Dehamaskir yochid etza merubin. The inyan matana. When one mentions an individual together with a group of others in the context of a gift, Notel kenegid hamerubin. The individual will get an amount equal to all the rest, namely 50%. Let us turn back to the Gemara before we explain the additional geometric forms. The Gemara says in the at the triangle, Hahu di Omar lo lidvisu nechosai lechu livnech, Omar Rav Yosef. Konsa mechza, the woman, the wife, acquires half. Vi Omar of Yosef, Mino Amino Law, from where do I know this? Desanya, Rabbi Omer, we have a Tanaic source that features a pasuk. The pasuk deals with the lechem haponim, the distribution of the bread that was positioned in the heichal of the Beis Hamikdash from Shabbos to Shabbos. There were 12 loaves of lechem haponim, and the pasuk says v'hoisa le'aron ulevonov. And we learn from this pasuk, since Aaron is mentioned, is singled out, together with Bonov, Mechza li Aaron, Mechza li Bonov, half goes to Aaron, and half goes to the other Kohanim. So we see, similar to Rav Yosef's ruling, that when the individual is specified together with a group, the individual will receive half. And now we see a new geometric form, the volcano form. And as you scan down the page, you notice it appears in an inverted fashion. And later it straightens out again. The role of this marking is explained in the mivneh, outside margin. You notice the volcano form, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the narrow section pointing upwards, this will be against Rav Yosef. With the narrow section facing downwards, this will be L'toivas Rav Yosef, to benefit him. So, at this point, Abaye appears, offering an objection to using this source involving the lechem upon him as evidence, as support to Rav Yosef, who said, when one is makne to his wife, nechosai lech ulivnech, that she gets half. Why are they different? In the case of the distribution of the lechem aponim, Aaron was already, before anything was said, was a kohen, and he was worthy of getting something without having been specified. Therefore, the Torah, by featuring him by name, is trying to convey that he gets half. Isha, however, a woman, when one is addressing his wife and his sons, lav bas Yerushahi, she is not in the picture of receiving his property whatsoever in terms of inheritance. If he, the husband, is mentioning his wife, daya shetitol ke'echa min abonim, it's sufficient that she gets a portion equal to any one of the sons. And when we say any one of the sons, we're saying a much smaller portion than suggesting that she gets half of all of the property, the equivalent of all of the sons together. Well, we see the Gemara with an inverted volcano marking. At this point, we will see support or information that would go in the direction of Rav Yosef. Eini, the Gemara asks, is that so? There was an incident in Nahardah where Shmuel entitled her to receive half. B'Tiveria, the Agve, Rabbi Yochanan Palga. An incident in Tiveria where Rabbi Yochanan entitled the woman to get half. Not a small portion like Abaye suggested, equal to any one of the sons. B'Suk, he also... Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Omar. And furthermore, an incident happened where Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef reported, Ahu Demei Klila, was a crown tax, money collected to pay for the king's crown. The Shadu Debei Malka A'abuli V'Istrugi, that was levied on the Abuli, the rich, Istrugi, the ministers, the government officials, the Sorim. Omar Rebbe, Nesfu Abuli Palga, the Istrugi Palga. And Rebbe ruled that the rich will pay half, and the Istrugi, the ministers, will also pay half. Even though the Ashirim, even though the wealthy, the Abuli people, the rich people, were much wealthier than the Istrugi. So that we see the element of when two are mentioned, that the property or the amount in question is divided in half. The Gemara at this point takes issue with the third example and says, Hochi Hashta, how can you compare the case of the levying of the crown tax equally on the Sorim together with the Ashirim to the case of the woman and the sons? Hochi Hashta, Hosam, in the case of the crown tax, Meikora Kihavu Kasvi. Originally, when the tax was levied, Aabuli Havu Kasvi, V'Istrugi Havu Misai Bahadayu, V'Yoda Malko the Havu Ko Misai. The tax was levied exclusively on the wealthy individuals. The ministers, on their own, offered to contribute as well. And the king was aware that they were contributing. Apparently, the king sent a second order of taxation. And Hashta, Mai de Kokasvi Abuli Vastruki, in the second letter, in the second order of taxation, where he mentioned the Istrugi, as opposed to the original taxation, where you'll notice we have dashed, underlined the expression Me'ikar, that was the original taxation. In the original taxation, only the wealthy were mentioned. In the second issuance of the tax, the king made mention of the Istrugi. Why was he mentioning them if he already knew that they were contributing toward the crown tax? So the Gemara says, Hashto mai deko kasvi abuli viastrugi lameimra. Here he has an intention of saying dahani palga vahani palga, that I want these to give half and these to give half, namely the ministers to give half as well as the rich. The Rashbam, second line from the bottom, says Hashta de Kokasvi Vhule, Lahoisif Alma Shehoyu Regilin Litain Nichtevu Ata. The king intended that they, the ministers, should give more than they were usually giving. With all of these details, though, an original taxation, a subsequent taxation, and that is how the ministers came to contributing half. This is a different situation, totally different situation, than a man addressing his wife and saying, I want you to receive half with my sons. We notice again the volcano marking, narrow section facing up, and we know that this will be against Rav Yosef. We've also included a long question marking. This you can see in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, namely to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a circled kuf with a vertical dashed line going to down Omid Beis, four lines from the top, indicating all of this as an objection to Rav Yosef. Mosiv Rabbi Zera. Ha'omer hare olai mincha mea isaron. Lehovi b'shnei Kalim. Person accepts upon himself a meal offering, a mincha korban, and he says, I want to bring 100 isaron, and I want to bring it in two vessels. The ruling is, maybe shishim b'kli echad, v'arboim b'kli echad. He brings 60 isaron, isaron being a measure of the soilus, of the flour. He brings 60 isaron of the 100 in one vessel, and 40 in the second vessel. The im hevi chamishim bekli echod v'chamishim bekli acher, or chamishim b'kli echad v'chamishim b'kli echad, yotza. If, however, he divides it equally, 50%, 50%, he will fulfill his vow all the same. However, the Gemara points out, im hevi in v'chadchila lo. This is only as a contingency if he happens to split it like that, 50-50. But as a first, as an desired approach, not so. V'i salko daitoch kol ki hai gavno palgo palgo hu. If you were to think like Rav Yosef's approach to things like this, that we treat things half and half, afilu lechatchilo nami. So even as a desired way, it should have been 50 isaron in one kli and 50 isaron in the other kli. The Gemara rejects this as an objection to Rav Yosef and says that the case of the mincha is simply not parallel to the case of the man addressing his wife and saying, At ubanayich. Hosam, in the case of the mincha, anan sahadi, we can bear witness. The high gavro me'ikor lekorban godol kamachavim. The person vowing the mincha offering really wants to bring a large korban, as large as possible, so to speak. V'hai de ko'omar b'shnei kelim, the fact that he even mentioned two vessels, that's because he knows, d'yoda d'lo efshir l'suye b'kli echad. He knows that he cannot bring 100 isaron in one vessel. Without getting into too much detail concerning the mincha, we know that there's a lug of shemen that accompanies, a lug is a certain measure of oil that accompanies a korban mincha. It is also understood that the lug of shemen is supposed to be mixed with the solus. In other words, all of the solus should come into contact with some oil. If, however, the oil solus, oil flour ratio, whereby the is too great, so if it's too great, there will be some of the solus that remains dry. We know that the maximum amount of flour that can be allowed for one lug of shemen is 60 isaron. So this man who dedicated 100 isaron, and he wanted to bring something that looks like a large offering, he knows that more than 60 isaron he cannot offer in one vessel. So we say, kamo de efshur la suye maisinon, as much as he can bring, he brings. Hence, that explains the 60-40 relationship or division. However, in the case of a man making a dedication and specifying his wife to receive property along with the sons, that's obviously not related to the case of the mincha and all of the details that are appropriate there. Hence, it could very well be that by specifying the woman, he intends for her to receive half. V'hilchos ha'kavose de Rav Yosef, the Gemara rules that we paskin like Rav Yosef, even though in many places in the Shas, when there's a machlokis, Rabo and Rav Yosef, we paskin like Rabo. There are three cases in the Shas that we will paskin like Rav Yosef. And they are featured over here by one-word titles, references to the different halachas. For our purposes, we only need to see that which is dashed underlined, because that's our topic. The other two are referred to here, v'sodeh. The Rashbam mentions that that was a topic dealt with in the first parak of this masichta. The second is inyan, which is also a discussion that we saw in this Masichta, in the 8th parak, u-mechza, the issue of half, namely our case of a person specifying an individual together with a group, and Rav Yosef says that that individual will receive half of the property. So as you can see, just by scanning this discussion, we saw from the triangle number 2, Rav Yosef telling us that a man who says, Nechosai leich ulivnayach, she will get half. The Gemara then went on to raise objections and responses. And it was a back and forth type Gemara. Each time the objection was raised, there was a rejection of that, rather a defense of Rav Yosef's position. And this repeated itself a few times. And as you can see, just by following the positioning of the volcano mark in this particular case. Continuing in the Gemara, we see now triangle number 3. Once again, dealing with the issue of distribution of property. Hahu deshadar piski deshiroi lebeisei. It was a man that sent some clothing fragments to his house to be distributed amongst his family. Omar Abami, Horu'iyin Lebonim Lebonim, these clothing fragments, those that are characteristic of male clothing, are to be given to his sons. Ru'uyin Lebonos Lebonos, and those that are characteristic of ladies' garments, are to be given to the daughters. V'lo Amoron, Ela Deles Le Kalsa, that the fragments that are for women will go to his daughters, that is assuming that he has no daughters-in-law. Aval is le kalsa, if he has daughters-in-law, le kalsa shadar. His intent was for the ladies' clothing to go to his daughters-in-law. Ve'i binse lo nasivan, if his daughters themselves are not married, lo shavak binse u'mishade le kalsa. He wouldn't opt to send it to his daughters-in-law at the expense of his daughters. So we see from here that if a man has children and the girls are all married, his daughters are all married, when he's sending the clothing fragments, those clothing fragments will go to his daughters-in-law. However, if he has unmarried daughters, they will have first choice. They will get the clothing fragments. Case number 4. Hahu di Omar lehu nechosai levonai. A man upon his approach of death says, I want to give my property to levonai. We've dashed underlined that word. It's a word in the plural form. Have le bro ubarta. This man had a son and a daughter. The question is, mi koru inshi levro bonai. Odilma lo koru imshi livra bonai ulamoishcha lebarta b'matana ka'asi. We have a structure of the question A, Aleph, that is, Odilma Beis. Two possibilities. Do we say, in the Aleph possibility, that a person would refer to a singular son by the plural expression? And if that be the case, he would thereby be excluding the daughter from receiving. The second possibility, Odilma, the Odilma Beis possibility, is that a person would not use a plural expression referring to a singular son. So why did he use the plural expression? He was trying to include his daughters in the receipt of this particular gift. So to sum up the question, does a plural expression refer, can it refer to a singular son? Omar Abaye, we've called this number 1. We will see a 2 and a 3 that follow addressing this issue. Toshma, the Gemara cites, Abaye cites a posuk, Uvnei don chushim. We notice the expression b'nei is a plural expression. We've dashed underlined that. The children, the sons of don, and only one son is mentioned. So we see that the plural expression could be used in reference to a singular son. Amalei Rava. Rava says, I'm not convinced. Dilma kidetana de Bechizkia. the understanding of that pasuk might be as the Brisa from Bei Chizkia teaches. And we have a Tanaic source, five words, Shahoyu Merubin Kechushim Shalkana, that Don had many sons. And the term Chushim is a reference to a certain part of the reed plant that appears in a numerous form. There are different pshatim that the Rashbam suggests. One of them is a reference to the leaves on the reed plant, which are numerous. So that B'nai Don is a plural expression referring to his many sons. Ela Omar Rava. Rava himself, though, offers another source. Uvnei Falu Eliyav. So we see the expression B'nai, a plural expression, the sons of Palu, and only one is mentioned. Rav Yosef Omar, Uvnei, a son, Azariah. Again, the plural word B'nai, and only one son, Azariah, being mentioned. So that, if we were to rely on the psukim that Rava and Rav Yosef are citing, then we would have a resolution of the question of if a person says, Nechosai lebonai, then all of the property would go to that son, and nothing to the daughter. Case number five. Hahu de'amar lehu, Nechosai lebonai. A person made a matona, a gift, of his property to, and he used the expression bonai, my sons. Havale bro ubar bro. This person had a son and a grandson. The question is, karo inshi labar bro bro oiloi. Does a person refer to a grandson by the term son? Rav Chaviva Amar, koru inshi labar bra bra. People do refer to grandchildren by the term son. Mor barav ashi Amar, loy koru inshi labar bra bra. People would not refer to a grandson by the term son. Tanyo kavose de mor barav ashi. We have a Tanaic source supporting mor barav ashi. Namely, that a grandson is not included by the term son. This source deals with someone making a vow prohibiting benefit from sons. Hamudar hano mibonim. If a person prevents himself from benefiting from his sons, mudar bivnei bonim. He's allowed to benefit from his grandson. So we see that the term son does not include grandchildren. We now come upon a new Mishnah. Before we delve into the Mishnah, let us glance at the topic heading provided in the outside margin. Nosei. Hashbochas nechosim, improvement of property, of estate, achar misas avihen, after the death of the father. Possibility one, al yedei hashko'ois, minechosim mehanechosim atzmon, improvement through investments involving the property themselves, investments made from the estate itself. Number two, al yedei mekuros kaspiim shelo achim hagdolim atzmon. A second possibility is improvement made on the property of the estate through investments made out of pocket of the older brothers. In other words, they took money that was not part of the estate. They took out of their own pockets money to improve the estate, which is currently in the possession, this pre-division is currently held by all of them. Eich mischalekes hayerusha ima shevach bein kol ha'achim. How is division of the estate to be made amongst the brothers, the estate with its improvements? Now we turn to the Mishnah. Hiniach bonim gedolim uktanim. Person died leaving older children and younger ones. Hishpichu gedolim es hanechosim. Hishpichu leemtza. If the property was improved while it was still what's known as Bitfusis Habayis, still not divided. The improvement is to be shared by all of them. Im Omru, if the older brothers announced, Re'u ma shiniach abo, hare onu oisim v'oichlim, they announced in front of witnesses, or they said to a Beis Din, notice the property that father left. We are prepared to divide it now. We are also intent on rendering improvements from our chelik, from our portion. And for whatever reason, the Beis Din did not divide the property immediately, and they went ahead and made improvements. Hishbichu li'atzmon, they're entitled to benefit solely from these improvements. In other words, they're not expected to share the improved value with the younger brothers. V'cheino isha shishbicha es anechosim hishbicha li'emtza. So too, a woman whose husband died. The details of this case will be dealt with extensively by the Gemara itself, but all the Mishnah is telling us at this point is that similarly with the woman who improves the property, the benefit, the increased value, will be shared by the entire family, the sons as well. Im omra re'u ma shiniach li bali hare ani oisa v'echelis. If, however, she made an announcement that she is going to make improvements on her own, then hishbicha li'atzma. Then she is entitled to be the sole beneficiary of those improvements. The Gemara commenting on the Mishnah and raising points that we mentioned in our introduction. Omar Rav Chaviva Brei D'Rav Yosef Brei D'Rava Mishmei D'Rava. In our marking system, we often employ the use of singular quotation marks to assist in the reading. Here there was a presentation of a very long name. The name was a line long. This was apparent because we have the entire line enclosed in the singular to quotation marks. So Rav Chaviva says in the name of Rava, Loi shanu elo sheshavchu nechosim achmas nechosim. This idea that the shevach is shared by all is only at a point or under circumstances that the property was improved through itself. What does that mean? So let's glance at the Rashbam. Elo sheshavchu nechosim machmas nechosim. Lo torchu v'lo hotziu mishalem klum. These older brothers did not exert themselves, nor did they pay out of pocket anything. Elo minichse avihem sochu po'alim v'shbichu anechosim. Rather, they used funds that were part of the estate, funds that were shayach, that were deserved to be enjoyed by all of them. They used those funds and hired workers, and thereby the improvement was rendered. Under those circumstances, Rav Chaviva is telling us, then we say that the shevach is enjoyed by all equally. Avol, the Gemara continues. Rav Chaviva continues, Shavchu nechosim machmas atzmon, hishbichu li'atzmon. The Rashbam says, machmas atzmon, shechofru v'notu v'sochru mishalahem, v'lo mishalaviyem. If these older brothers exerted themselves, or hired workers out of their own pockets, and not from funds that their father left, then the shevach is enjoyed by them alone. The Gemara asks, "Eini, is that so?" The Ho Omar of Chanina afilu lo hiniach lohem aviem elo udaini haschar leemtza. If a father died, leaving a pit and its cover, the pit is a piece of property used to store water for watering fields. People would rent out their pits with its water content to field owners and receive a rental fee, so to speak. It says in this comment of Rav Hanina says that if a father died leaving a pit needs to be watched. V'ho udaini demachmas atzmoi hu, the Rashbam at the top comments, machmas atzmoi, shemeshamrin oisai hagdolim, the older brothers would have to watch the pit their father left, utzrichin lamoid al gabo pen ye hefker l'chol shoavei mayim, so as that it should not be up for grabs by any passerby, anyone wanting to draw water. And we see that even though the older brothers are investing their energies in watching the pit, the rental income will be shared by all. The Gemara answers, this is not a good example of personal investment and then being shared by all. Shaini udaini delineti rusa hu de avida. The udaini, the pit with its cover, its whole income is generated by watching it. All that's needed to guarantee income is that it be watched and keep it from being up for grabs by any passerby. Even the younger brothers could fulfill the role of watchmen. And as a result of that, since they too are fit for this particular role, it's not considered an example of improvement or investment in property done out of pocket by the older brothers alone. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.